welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and start in Hebrews chapter 11. And this is really called, if you've kind of studied Hebrews at all, this is considered the Great Faith Hall of Fame chapter. And we're going to just take a look at the first few verses of Hebrews chapter 11 and just find out something very wonderful, very powerful about faith and hope. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." All right? We see here verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And really, basically, after these first three verses, you kind of get a bullet point of great men and women of faith who lived by faith. They were able to walk and live by something they knew and they believed about God. And so we call this the Great Faith Hall of Fame chapter because these are certain examples that were picked out of the Old Testament to give us examples of what faith is, what it looks like. As we look closely, though, at first this verse 1 again, it says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And what I just want to bring out this morning, when you look at that verse, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You see that there is something that actually goes out ahead of faith. Before you even have faith, before you even stand in faith and believe God for things, there's something that is going before faith. And that is that powerful little word called hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word hope simply means confident expectation. Hope is like, it's the picture. It's the vision. Hope is the reason you have faith in the first place. Hope is out there. It's future. It's what your prayers would look like if they were answered. All right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And this morning, I want to take a closer look at that word hope and the importance of that word hope. It is easy in our Christianity, even in our believing, to kind of slip into, and I've experienced this, I mean, I just sense the Holy Spirit checking me on this, you can actually slip into a sense of hopeless faith. Okay? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. But you can get used to faith. You can get used to being in faith and realize, I need to believe God. I need to trust God. I need to pray. I need to pray. I need to pray. And that's good. That's right. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. And I remember it was one time I think it was like a pain in my knee or something like that. And, you know, I just kind of instinctively just, you know, put my hand on my knee and just said, "Oh, Father, just ask in the name of Jesus for just healing, strength, power," just to, you know, and just kind of slapped in a prayer and kind of went down the road. And I just went down the road and I just felt checked in my heart. Just the Spirit of God saying, "Ed, do you really believe what you're praying? Do you really see that?" What I want to do this morning, hopefully, is kind of slow us down a little bit in our faith. Slow us down in our believing a little bit and really just make sure we really have hope for what it is we're praying about. Hope is the substance of, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You can think of hope as like the picture frame. Again, it is the visual. What is it going to look like? And so as I was just praying, I just felt checked, and all of a sudden I thought, you know what? Yes, I have the hope that this knee is free from pain, that the discomfort is gone, and that it's going to function normally. Now I'm going to pray in faith with that hope before me. And it really made all the difference. It made a difference. It kind of gets your heart right. You can get religious about anything. You can have great theology and be religious with it. We as human beings, you know, we know how to do it. We can kind of slip into routines and ruts. But that combination of faith and hope together, hope really kind of keeps your faith, you know, in the right motive and perspective. And so this morning, I simply want to talk, you know, the title of my message is simply called A Message of Hope. I want to take a look at hope and the importance of hope and why we need to be mindful of hope as we are praying, as we're believing, as we're walking with God. We all know we live in a world that the mantra is, don't get your hopes up. And it's very much part of our culture, even our own. I find myself thinking it and saying it, and just, you know, it's very much around us. Don't get your hopes up. You know what? As Christians, as believers, we can and should and need to get our hopes up. If you don't get your hope up, your faith has nowhere to go. You know, your hope is what your substance, faith is the substance of things hoped for. We need to get our hopes up. We need to begin to see and believe the best. Hope. Hope is seeing it. It's seeing that, yes, not only, you know, God can do it, but God can do it for me. God can do it in my life. And so as we look at, simply called A Message of Hope, we want to look at a few aspects of that. Number one, hope inspires faith. Okay? Hope inspires faith. Don't want a hopeless faith. We don't want to just be going through the motions of praying and praying without really seeing and believing and getting a picture of what it is that we're praying about and believing for. Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1 gives us this amazing promise of promises. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we see here, again, verse 3, his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us. And that knowledge is contained in, verse 4, those exceedingly great and precious promises. So that through those promises, you escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we see something as it relates to hope. I almost like to think of the promises as like a palette of promises. This time of year, as we're going through Door County, especially in that Ephraim area, mm-hmm. as we're coming through, you'll see painters out there with their canvases. And you know they're going to capture the sunset. They're going to capture that, you know, just the waters and the islands, just different scenes and the churches, the beautiful, landscape there. And you can see that they've got their brush. They've got their colors. They got what they want to do. And there's an inspiration. But what are they going to do? They're going to paint a picture. They're going to capture something on that canvas. And, you know, as we have hope for our life, we have hope for our children, hope for our marriage, hope for our community, things that we want to see God do in our lives. Hope, seeing those good things that God has ordained us to walk in, getting pictures. What does that look like? What does that look like to see my children living for the Lord? Dare I go there? Yes. I dare go there in my mind. See my children living for God, getting set free, getting their focus on Jesus. Seeing that one relationship that just seems to,
Can I see it whole? Dare I go there? Yeah. Should I get my hopes up? Yeah. Get your hopes up. Why? You've got a palette of promises that cover everything that pertains to life and godliness. God has given us His precious word. You know, when I'm talking about help this morning, I'm not talking about wishful thinking. I'm talking about something that the Word of God is backing up, something that these precious promises we can go to and find. You may have been bound by a certain fear for 30, 40 years. Could you see yourself free from that? What would your life be like if that thing came around? It's like you didn't even know what it was. You're so free. Could you see that? Or am I just, you know, this is what I'm saying, I'm kind of slowing us down. You know, I haven't been given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind, da-da-da-da. Yeah, that's true. But time out. Wait. See yourself. See yourself free. See yourself totally free. See where God is bringing you. Dare to hope. Dare to see the picture of what that freedom is. Every addiction, you know what? Those promises, they'll cause you to partake of that divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Those promises can break every addiction. Man, what would my life be like if I was free from that? The full color of my personality and expression just coming through. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, before you get into faith, you got to start with hope. Faith says, it will be done. Hope says it can be done. But there's no point in getting into the it will be done if you don't even, you got to know it can be done before you're going to believe that it will be done. If you're trying to believe that it will be done, but in your heart you don't even believe it can be done, you can get on a circle, merry-go-round. But hope says, no, I'm taking that situation and I'm believing. I'm going to get my hopes up. I'm going to believe God. He can turn that around. You read this book, He turned around some amazing situations. And He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness through these exceeding great and precious promises. Here's what we know in prayer. It says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, that's His word, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. This is where the faith comes in as we're beginning to pray. But we're praying in faith and we're praying in hope. I'm not praying to log another prayer. You know, Jesus said, when it comes to prayer, He said, don't be like the heathen who think that they're going to be heard for their much speaking. He said, you just go into the secret place and just pray. Just let the Lord know. You know, we talked about it this morning already. He knows everything already. I just go into that secret place and say, oh, Father, yeah. And I love how the throne of grace says, obtain mercy and find grace to help. You might go into the secret place, oh, Lord, I messed up my finances. Ah, mercy, grace, sorry, thank you, forgiveness. Ah, now, Lord, I need grace to help. I know that you meet all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You've met Him before, and I've done dumb things with your provision before, but here I am again. And I thank you, Lord, that your mercy and your provision are still here. They're still for me, Lord. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask for the provision that I need, you know, for whatever that need might be. And then in your mind's eye, begin to see that need met. That's very important, too, when you come before the throne of grace to receive mercy. Don't just come before the throne of grace to confess what you did wrong. That's part of it. But you need to come before the throne of grace, confess what you did wrong, but then also receive the mercy. Receive the forgiveness. It's, you know, there's two sides of it. Confession, and then you're faithful and just. So I confess that. I shouldn't have done that. And, Lord, I receive your faithful mercy. I receive it in Jesus' name. I see myself cleansed. I see myself whole, not by works of righteousness which I've done, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's hope. your hope, you're seeing it, you're daring. You know, again, we live in a world that conditions us not to get our hopes up. But yes, God says, get your hopes up. I think of Jairus, you know, when he came to Jesus for his daughter. He wanted him to heal her. She was really sick. And then somebody said, oh, forget it, Jairus. Your daughter's already dead. And Jesus looked at him and said, Jairus, just only believe. Only believe. Only believe. So Jairus, in his mind, he kept a picture of his daughter, not dead, but alive. Jesus encouraged that. Jesus will encourage you to take on areas that we can get so conditioned to not believe the best and say, hope, hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word, as you begin to read the word, it'll cause hope. The psalmist put it this way. He said, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Praise God. And that is really what happens. The word will cause us to hope. Now, there are two reasons why people typically aren't going to have hope about something. They can be ignorant. You know, I know, according to the word, that everything that pertains to life godliness is in the word, but maybe what I'm needing hope for, I don't know where it is in the word of God. I don't know what those scriptures are. You know, if you've got some kind of sometimes a little promise book, we've got a Prayers That Avail Much book that we will sell through Door of Life if you want to get something like that. But really, it's not that hard to get a little promise book and find out those promises, those precious promises that cover those situations. Some of these promise books just cover all these amazing different scenarios, situations. It's true, it's good, it's right. Those promises have been given to us. Like I said, they're almost like, I like to think of these promises as a palette of colors, and I'm beginning to paint something. Maybe I do have that fear, and I'm just saying, yes, that 2 Timothy 1:7, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And in my mind, I'm seeing my life free from that because of the precious word that causes me to hope, that comforts me. Praise God. I haven't received a spirit of bondage again to fear, but I have received a spirit of adoption whereby I cry, Abba, Father. I sought the Lord, he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. I'm, as it were, painting something with the palette of promises. I'm hope. I'm seeing my life free, not wishful thinking, but according to the word of God. I'm beginning to see it. What happens is hope will inspire faith. I got this picture in my mind, and I need to color it. I got to get in this word to find out where those promises are. It'll inspire faith. It'll inspire you to get in the word of God and find out what is that. I know it's in there somewhere. God says it's in there. It covers life and godliness, so it's in there somewhere. I'm going to find it. I'm going to walk in it. Praise God. You know, and that really kind of being the case as far as, you know, not getting into hope because of ignorance, it kind of reminds me of a story about a guy, as it were, he came over on a boat from England, and he saved up all he had to buy this ticket. And as he was coming over, he would peek in the elaborate dining rooms where they'd have these amazing buffets. And he was just like, longingly looking at all that amazing food. And then he would go back in his little cabin with his rations that he brought, his potatoes and a few things, you know, to survive on the trip across. And as he got toward the end of the trip, the captain had asked him, he said, sir, noticed that you really didn't care to dine with us. And I was just wondering if there was anything that you found offensive on the trip. We'd just like to know. You know, we just want to do the best we can in serving our customers. And he just said, and the guy just said, well, I didn't have enough money for all the food, you know. And the guy said, oh, that was included in the price of the ticket. You know, that's ignorance. You just don't know what you have. And you know what? A lot of times, myself included, we're ignorant. We can be ignorant of the word of God. What's in here? Digging in, finding out what belongs to us in the word of God. You know, if there is something, find out what that promise is. Those promises are powerful. It's not just like poetry that inspires you emotionally. There's power. You see, that's what he said. You'll notice the first thing that he says is that his divine power has been given to us. And that power has the ability to cause you to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. The Word of God is quick and powerful. And so when those promises get in you, praise God, they begin to paint a picture of where God is going to take you. Another guy, a little story I remember hearing about a guy, just kind of a rich guy who is going to kind of give an inspirational talk to a bunch of, you know, junior high kids in kind of a slummy area, and to try to encourage them that they can be more and do more. And he kind of came with his prepared speech and all that, and he just took it, he crumpled it, he just made it a one or two line speech. He said, "Look, guys, you know, if you stay in school, I will pay for your college education." That was a speech. And this was an area where there was well over a 50% dropout rate. In that particular class, over 90% of those kids graduated high school. It's just unheard of. And, you know, when they began to kind of do the interview process, you know, one kid said, "For the first time in my life, I had hope. It was golden. I had something to look forward to." And it just caused him to hold on and believe and hope. Well, you know, we've got, again, can we get free? Yeah, we've got hope. We've got hope that inspires our faith from this word. And so as we begin to look at the word, man, let it begin to frame your world. This is one of the most powerful passages of Scripture, I think, as it relates to what God can and will do in our lives. In Ephesians 3, it says, "Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Amplified, "Now to him who, in by consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams." Wow. So when I think about this, these are scriptures that cause me to want to get my hopes up. To get my hopes up. And it's going to kind of segues really into the next point. Not only does hope inspire faith, but hope destroys fear. It's kind of this subtle thing. I don't want to get my hopes up. It's almost like there's this God of fear, and I'm trying to appease him. I'll tell you what, because I've got my hopes up before, they've got dashed, I'm not going to do that again. You know, it's almost subtle, but I'm not going to, don't hurt me. I won't get my hopes up. No. Jesus Christ came and gave us authority in his name. And he that is in us is greater than he that is in this world. The promises have the power to break the corruption that's in this world through lust. He's given us his name. He's given us his word. He's given us his armor. We don't live down here afraid anymore. We have authority in Jesus Christ. And when you get your hopes up, it's going to destroy fear. There's a dialogue going on in your head that doesn't want you to do it. Jesus wants you to get your hopes up. Jesus wants you to put your hope in him, in his word. It is a fear destroyer. It is a fear crusher. All right? Romans 8, 24, 25 says, "For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope." Right? "For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly await for it with perseverance." Man, this is a hope of heaven, all right? You know, my mom and my dad, who've gone on to be with the Lord, aren't hoping for heaven anymore. They're there. Praise God. And someday I'm going to join them and be there with them, as we all are. If the trumpet blasts, we'll all be caught up together to be with the Lord in the air. But, you know, right now, the third heaven for me is a hope. Hope is always future. Fear is always future. There's two pictures that you're looking at. Hope, according to the Word of God, or fear, according to the enemy. And it's almost like a teeter-totter. You know how it goes? When one goes down, the other goes up. When you get up in hope, when you get your hopes up, fear just starts to go down. When you start to get in fear, hope just seems to automatically go down. Hope and fear. There's a lot to getting your hopes up. There's a lot that happens. There's choices that you're making. You know, it is so much. We get those two pictures. We get the hope picture. We get the fear picture. And we're kind of left with a decision. Which one am I going to do? When I choose hope, it's going to destroy fear. I love this little story. It's a story about Naaman, a leper. And this is in the Old Testament. And he was going to Elijah for healing. He had heard about Elisha, this man of God, who had the power to heal leprosy. And so, or if anybody could do it, he could do it. And so Naaman, you know, goes there, and he's all, you know, he's got his entourage with him, and he's ready to, you know, do whatever he has to do to experience this amazing miracle in his life. But lo and behold, when he comes to the prophet, Elisha, he's a little surprised by what happens. It says, then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. He had, in other words, Naaman had this thing built up in his mind what was going to happen. All right? Are not, and this is one of his servants, Naaman's servants, that kind of encourages him a little bit later. He says, are not Abana and the Parpar and the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Could not, I'm sorry, this is still Naaman talking. Are they not all better than the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. All right, so he's just kind of ranting, you know. Should have came out, should have waved the hand, should have been a real spectacular sight here. There's a lot of places I could be washing. Okay, now his servant's going to come. His servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down, dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Now, you got to imagine that Naaman was probably a little concerned, a little afraid at this time. He's got leprosy in his body. I mean, when he's saying these things, you got to understand with leprosy. He's there with leprosy. I don't know what leprosy feels like, but he was feeling it. And he was really wanting to see something spectacular, miraculous. Come on, do your thing. But what did he get? He just got a word. That's a go and wash. It wasn't even Elijah. It was just a messenger who just gave him a word. Yeah, he just said to go and do that. This is serious. I'm dying here. You know, sometimes when we're talking about hope, we're talking about putting our hope in words, and it's not as dramatic as we would like it to be. Sometimes there can be a dramatic. You could experience the power of God. Somebody can lay hands on you. You could have a supernatural healing. Absolutely does, can happen, no doubt. But a lot of times, God wants to do the miraculous in our lives just simply through the Word. Through the Word. In fact, it was so impressive. One of the things that impressed Jesus when he was on the earth, I mean, the things that made Jesus go, I mean, can you imagine something that makes Jesus go, wow, was when a centurion came because he wanted healing for his servant. And Jesus said, okay, I'll go and heal him. And the servant said, oh, no, I'm not even worthy you come under my roof. You just say the word and my servant will be healed. How to impress Jesus. And he goes, wow, I haven't found that kind of faith in all of Israel. That's incredible, you know. This Gentile understands authority. He understood authority, didn't he? He understood the authority of words. Naaman had a choice here. All you're going to get, Naaman, is a word. Could you see yourself whole? Could you do what the word says? Well, praise God, Naaman not only had a word, but he had a very wise servant. But you notice how the servant appealed to him? He said, man, if he would have told you to do something powerful and great, you would have done it, right? You know, slay so many bad guys. Get 100 bad guys and you'll get healing. That's the way we want it. We can kind of be careful. We got to almost do that with prayer and faith and much speaking. Just say, hey, no, wait, no. Lord, my hope is I see that I am healed according to your word. And so, Lord, I'm just putting my trust in your stripes. I just, Father, pray. That's where the Bible says in James 5, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. If he's committed sins, they'll be forgiven him. There's a plan, there's a pattern, and beginning to see, yeah, I see myself whole. I see it. But Naaman, praise God, had that smart servant, and he just did that simple little thing, and he came up whole and cleansed. But that is going to be a choice. We've got that war in our head. We've got that war between fear and hope going on. And the thing with hope is sometimes it can just seem like, wow, that's it? Yeah, I'm putting my hope in God. I'm not doing a feat. I'm not doing might. I'm just, Lord, I'm putting my trust in you. And the way you can release that is when you begin to open your mouth and declare, here is my hope, Lord. My hope is in you. My hope is in the Lord. The psalmist put it this way. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Ah, this is great. If you're having a hard time hoping, if you're having a hard time getting your hopes up, the psalmist had the key. You can stir yourself up in hope. How do you do that? Verse 6, therefore I will remember you. One of the great things you can do when you're having a hard time putting that canvas of hope over that situation is to go back and remember what God's already done in your life. Go back and remember all the times he's taken care of you and blessed you and delivered you. Here's a great psalm that just kind of recounts things. This is the way a psalmist would kind of encourage himself. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his mercy endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, his mercy endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, his mercy endures forever, who led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. What is he doing? The psalmist is stirring himself up. Hey, this is the God who delivered us. Do you have a testimony of his deliverance? Has he ever done anything in your life? He is the same God today as he was then. He loves us. And this is one of the things we can do. Yes, I am going to get my hopes up. God, you have been faithful to me. I remember watching that movie, The Ten Commandments, as a kid and seeing that, you know, all the amazing miracles, special effects. Wow, this is incredible. And then right at the end of the movie, they finally get across the Red Sea. You'd think they're going to be the most God-worshipping, God-fearing community around. I mean, that's what they were toting themselves when they were in Egypt. And then they get out there and they start partying like the Egyptians, because Moses was up in the hill a little bit too long. And I remember watching that thinking, my goodness, look at all the miracles and all the things that they've done. God has shown in their life. How could they? How could they? And just as I was kind of saying that in my own heart, the Holy Spirit saying, yeah, Ed, that's true. Yep. How could? And I just remember thinking, oh yeah, how could I? How could I? How could I? And it wasn't 10 plagues, but I've got 10 stuff. I got 10 things that I can look back and say, wow, I could have died there, and he helped me here, and wow, totally got delivered there, and wow, I don't know, I even still don't know how I got out of that one. It's kind of like how Jesus passed out of their midst, and you know, I said, you know, still amazed, but how God has taken care of me and seen me through the years. That's what the psalmist said. You know, get stirred up. Why sit down, cast with me? You'll yet praise him. You know, I'm going to remember you from the land of Jordan. I'm going to remember you, Lord, what you've done in my life. I'm going to get stirred up. You are faithful. You are good. I can trust in you that you are going to deliver again. Praise God. And then finally, hope. Hope not only inspires faith, destroys fear, but it secures us. I love hope. You know, there's hope that we have. There's different levels of hope. We got kind of our hope down here as we're kind of getting through things and getting through the issues of life. But then we've got hope as Christians. We've got an amazing big picture hope. And we've got a hope that can kind of take us to that 30,000 foot level and really put our lives in tremendous, glorious perspective. You know, it's kind of like if I'm, you know, here's the passage in Hebrews chapter 6. It says, thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel confirmed by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, comfort, support, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. This is basically talking about our hope in Christ, our hope in eternity, that we've got a home in heaven waiting on us. And it says that that hope in verse 19 is like an anchor to the soul. Hope has a securing, anchoring effect. I know as we'd fish in the springtime, and the boat would get a little wavy. We were fly fishermen, our fly fishermen in our family. We like to fly fish the bluegills in the springtime when they're spawning, and you try to get close to the bays but not too close, so we very much worked the anchors. And what that anchor would do is it would secure the boat. You'd still have wind, you'd have waves, but it would keep that boat in the right place. There would still be motion and movement, but it would keep you in place so you could do what you wanted to do. And that's what the hope that we have in Christ is like. It is like an anchor to our soul. We go big picture and it's like, wow, this life down here is a vapor. And you know what? I've got some amazing, amazing things. My life in Christ is, yeah, it's you can't even describe it. You know, if you were to try to put it in a microcosm, it'd be kind of like, you know, a young couple maybe in their 20s just getting started out. But, you know, when they turn, you know, 59 and a half or 60 or whatever that is, they got about a $20 billion IRA account waiting on them, all right? And so, yeah, they're going through some things, and yeah, there's a struggle, but you know what? Big picture, we're going to be all right. We're going to be fine. We're going through some things down here. We're going through some things for a while, but I'll tell you what, there is something waiting on us that is just so incredible. Here's a picture of your IRA account. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. I don't know what all that means. Bible says we know in part now, then we're going to know fully. But the part that I know, that is really good. It is really good. You got to understand sometimes there is a securing hope. Yeah, I'm going through stuff down here. Jesus said in this world I would have tribulation. Yeah, I'm on a planet that is demon infested, cursed planet, fallen flesh, my fallen flesh, other people's fallen flesh. Stuff's going to happen. I'm going to go through some stuff down here. No doubt about it. I'm going to have an overcoming. But I'll tell you, the big picture of my existence, of my life, is amazing. There is such something that God has prepared for us. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. I mean, you can have courage in the here and now today over what is simply waiting on you. Your identity, your who you are. This vapor, we just scratched the surface of it, but you understand it's game over already. You are His. And it is amazing. And God, what does it say? You know, the Hebrew writer said, we have that hope as an anchor to the soul. It doesn't mean my boat isn't still rocking. It doesn't mean that I don't still feel the wind and experience all that, but that hope keeps me centered. You know, even if I mess everything up and just, you know, God, I don't want to, but gee, I got some amazing things waiting on me. I have cause to be happy today. Not just because of how well I did today, or whether it was a good day or a bad day. I've got an inheritance incorruptible reserved in heaven waiting for me. Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise God. That is something that you have that secures your soul. Paul put it this way too in Romans. He says, for I consider the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. Amplified, I consider the sufferings of this present time, this present life, aren't even worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred upon us. Wow. You know, you can look ahead at what's going to happen and drive stability and inspiration and strength and security today. Praise God. The Bible says about Jesus, it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame. It was the joy that was set before Jesus that helped his staying power as he was going through his humanity and all the horrible things that we saw in the crucifixion. There was a joy that was set before him. There is a joy that is set before you. And the final conclusion of all things, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven, first earth had passed away. No more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, and heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. Praise God. That's how our story ends. Sometimes you say, people say, I read the back of the book and we win. You know, it's true. It's true. We have great cause for rejoicing, for getting our hopes up today, for taking those situations and begin to turn them around. Hope inspires faith. If I'm painting a canvas of hope, there's a whole palette of promises. Maybe I want to hope, I want to see something. My goodness, get into this precious word of God where there are these precious promises and begin to find out what they are and begin to hide them in your heart. And as you begin to hope according to the word of God. Like we've been saying, that there is hope to overcome in every area of your life. I mean, in every relationship, love never fails, never gives up. Praise God. Hopes all things, believes all things, bears all things. It's amazing what God can do. It's amazing what God can turn around if we'll dare to get our hopes up. Hope destroys fear. Hope destroys fear. You know what you do? It doesn't stop the enemy from roaring. He goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, your adversary. He'll roar thoughts of fear. Just take those thoughts and give him a 180. Turn them into hope. Take the opposite. He's going to say, you know, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to kill you. You're going to die early. Praise God with long life. Lord, you're going to satisfy me and show me your salvation. I see myself living a long time. I see myself with my children and grandchildren. I see myself walking it out. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. You can take every thought of fear and give it a 180. He'll stop roaring after a while when you do that. You can do it. You can begin to say yes. Or, you know, I've done this once before. But, you know, if you get a voice of that fear, how many times, I believe it was 365 times, the Word of God says, fear not, fear not, fear not. Well, if you're getting a bunch of fear, you know who it isn't coming from. You say, well, praise God. I'm going to get my hopes up in this area. I believe. I'm doing a 180. I'm getting my hopes up. Praise the Lord. And you can sense that. Oh, yes. Here we go. But you got your hopes up before, and that didn't happen. I'm getting my hopes up, and I'm keeping them up. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. I'm going to get them up, and I'm going to keep them up, and I'm going to stay in hope. And stay in hope, and stay in hope, and stay in hope. And you will sense spiritually things getting pushed back because you're not going to cave in. Praise God. He delivers us from all fear. And hope secures us. Big picture, you know what? You've got so much. You've got so much right now that is just in your future. Amazing glory. And I just like the way Paul puts it. You know, you can look at it as in terms of an inheritance, no more pain, no more fear, no more all that stuff, no more pain, no more all that stuff. But it's the thing that Paul said, the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to compare with the glory that will be revealed in us. There's something glorious. And I think there's something glorious about by faith seeing that glory now and living your life by faith. I think when you get over there, you're going to be very glad you did that. I think it's going to be even more glorious when you by faith see that, whom having not seen, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. I think there's something glorious about that. I think there's something courageous about that. And it's something that causes me to want to hope and to get my hopes up. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, for just the powerful truth of hope, where we can dare to see things different than they are today, that we don't have to patty cake with fear. We don't have to try to appease the God of fear. But Jesus Christ, you are our Lord. You are our God. You are the greater one who lives on the inside of us, far above all powers and principalities and every name that is named. You said over and over that we don't have a spirit of fear, to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, just let us let you know our requests. And there's a peace that passes our understanding that secures our hearts and minds. Father, we thank you for hope, for the power of hope. I just pray for each one here today. Holy Spirit, show each one what this message means. Areas that they can dare to get their hopes up and trust you. To be inspired to get in faith. To pull out that promise book. Look up those exceedingly great and precious promises. And to begin to paint a fresh canvas on that relationship, on that financial situation, over freedom of addiction, whatever it is. Oh, daring to hope, daring to see things different. Fear getting crushed, replaced with a canvas of beauty, promises. Thank you, Lord. We are blessed. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, I put my hope in you today, in your precious promises. There is no fear that hope does not destroy. My hope is in you. I trust you with my marriage. I trust you with my children. I trust you with the plan you have for my life. Lead me. Guide me. I see hopeful things. A brighter today. You are working now on my behalf. And as hope rises, fear falls. And my eyes are on you, Jesus. Thank you for being my God, for being my Lord. Jesus, today's my day, the day I call upon your name. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive that love now, and I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.